Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on Blog Talk Radio at blakeradio.com. Well, I'd like to say, first of all, thank you so much for listening, and we had some technical issues last week. That episode has been retaped and should be up on the, certainly on the website at vitalitycapsules.com/truth-files. So, what I'm doing now is I'm doing a different, using a different technology to remedy the deficiency of the other technology, which of course is shaky internet over long distances. And so, for future episodes, I will be giving you the title of the episode the week before, and you should email your questions to support@vitalitycapsules.com. And then what I'll do is incorporate the answers into the show. So the show is going to run about 45 minutes, and it's pre-recorded, but we're both going to listen together. And if people have questions, I can interrupt the recording towards the end there and take questions. So let's see how this technology works. I'm going to hit the button right now, and we're going to hope it works. Hi, this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and it's Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Now, today's topic is exercise. When is it dangerous? When is it healthy? Exercise is good for you, yet it creates harmful free radicals. We all know this. If you've ever tried to sort out this doublespeak, this episode is for you. So I'm going to sort this out, and I'm going to share the secrets of getting more of the benefits with none of the dangers. So let's get going with exercise. Now, if exercise is so great, why aren't we all healthy? Clearly, we've been deceived. Doctors have been deceived. Now, I'm here to warn you about the deadly exercise lies that are shortening your life. This may sound extreme, but hear me out. As always, there's a natural approach that will give you the results you want. Now, when I was in medical school, exercise was touted as good for all people, all things, all time. The doctor, however, needed to preside over exercise and tell people if and how much they could exercise. The doctor did this by a cardiac stress test. The patient placed on a treadmill, hooked up to various devices that measure various things, and the doctor attempts to provoke a heart attack or heart damage. If the patient does not get a heart attack or heart damage, he's okay to exercise. If he does get a heart attack, the doctor gets rich. Now, I thought this was a bit barbaric. I also did not think exercise was necessary because I never exercised and I felt great. Better than most of my classmates and most other people my age. So let's take a look at exercise and its definition. What the heck is it? Exercise is an activity requiring physical effort carried out especially to sustain or improve health and fitness. In other words, it is physical activity that has no purpose except to sustain health and fitness. So, what happens when you exercise? Well, your body consumes oxygen, vitamins, minerals, and it produces biological waste that needs to be disposed of, as well as, of course, free radicals. So, This activity is damaging as it robs the body of its nutrients but produces no immediate benefit. So let's see what the Mayo Clinic says. It's always nice to see what the experts say about this thing. Mayo Clinic has got a lot of things, seven things that they say about exercise. These things are so outrageous that I'm going to answer them up front and discuss. Exercise controls weight. This is absolutely false. Exercise does not control weight. Exercise cannot cause you to lose that extra 20, 50, or 100 pounds you're trying to lose. But the Mayo Clinic does say it can help prevent excess weight gain, help maintain weight loss. When you engage in physical activity, you burn calories. Wait a minute, what they're saying is exercise can prevent excess weight gain or help maintain weight loss. What they're saying is exercise can help you stay the weight that you are. So exercise cannot help you lose weight. So they go on to say when you engage in physical activity, you burn calories. The more intense the activity, the more calories you burn. You don't need to set aside large chunks of time for exercise to reap weight loss benefits. If you can't do an actual workout, get more active throughout the day in simple ways by taking the stairs instead of the elevator or revving up your household chores. Now, first they say exercise controls weight. What they really say, what they're saying here, if you read between the lines, is that you will not lose weight from exercise. It may help you stay the weight that you are, but you will not lose weight during exercise. And that actually is true. It's not a weight loss strategy. It's very inefficient for that, and I guess ineffective would be a more direct term. All right, number two, exercise combats health conditions and disease. This is interesting. It says worried about heart disease? Hoping to prevent high blood pressure. No matter what's your current weight, being active boosts HDL, lipoprotein, or good cholesterol, decreases unhealthy triglycerides. This 1-2 punch keeps your blood flowing smoothly, which decreases your risk of cardiovascular disease. In fact, regular physical activity can help you prevent or manage a wide range of health problems and concerns, including stroke. Now, if you have a stroke, I'm telling you, your exercise capacity is greatly diminished. Metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, depression, certain types of cancer, arthritis, and falls. Now, how does exercise manage a fall? I mean, you're on the ground and you can't get up. This is simply, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. And I'll go into more detail later about how it's nonsense. But basically, they're saying exercise, but activity like getting out of bed and bathing every day and dressing yourself, that is what improves your health. Now, you can call that exercise if you want to, but that is the level of activity needed. Next, exercise improves your mood. This can be true. Some people absolutely hate exercise, and for them, it does not improve their mood. It really upsets them. So what Mayo Clinic says, if you need an emotional lift, you need to blow off some steam after a stressful day, a workout in the gym, or a brisk 30-minute walk can help. Physical activity stimulates various brain chemicals that may leave you feeling happier and more relaxed. Okay, get that. May leave you feeling, in other words, usually doesn't. You may also feel better about your appearance and yourself when you exercise regularly, which can boost your confidence and improve your self-esteem. Okay, so far, we really don't have a whole lot of benefit here for exercise. But time for station identification. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniel on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit our sponsor, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? This anti-aging book is available at vitalitycapsules.com/truth-file. And get your copy of Dr. Daniel's book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? This has helped men and women look and feel 20 years younger. Be the first in your circle to get those envious inquiries and those admiring glances. Get your personal paperback book with free shipping at vitalitycapsules.com/truth-file. So you no longer have to fear wrinkles. Erase them at will. So, again, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? At vitalitycapsules.com/truth-file with free shipping. As always, we welcome your calls and questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695. Next, exercise boosts energy. This is absolutely false. Now, I have to tell you, I thought this was true. I really believe this. So much so that I joined a gym. But that's the birth of my second child. And I decided I was going to get back in shape. So I went to the gym. And I went to one machine and I started lifting and lifting. I said, oh my God, I'm so tired. I went to the next one and started lifting and lifting. Oh, I'm really tired. And then this really perky young lady starts bouncing into the gym and says, I'm doing a little exercise program, a floor exercise program. So I said, great, this is simple. I'll just go stand there in that exercise area and just do what she does. And unfortunately, she did an exercise where you had to lay down on the floor. Well, that was it. I was done. I fell right to sleep. I didn't wake up till the end of the class. I mean, I had no energy going in, and I just didn't have enough energy to even begin to do the exercise. So exercise-boosting energy is really, if you feel like you don't have any energy, exercise is probably not the way to boost it. So here's what the Mayo Clinic says. If you're winded by grocery shopping or household chores, and yep, I certainly was back then, regular physical activity can improve your muscle strength and boost your endurance. Exercise and physical activity deliver oxygen and nutrients to your tissues and help your cardiovascular system work more efficiently. And when your heart and lungs work more effectively, you have more energy to go about your daily chores. You know, it's just not true, okay? If you don't have energy, the last thing you want to do is start an exercise program, a vigorous exercise program of any type. You have other problems that need to be addressed. Next thing, exercise promotes better sleep. This is absolutely true. I was so exhausted, and I walked into that gym. All I had to do was lift 10 pounds, and boom, I was out like a light. So, yes, exercise promotes better sleep. And so the Mayo Clinic says, struggling to fall asleep or stay asleep? Regular physical activity can help you fall asleep faster and deepen your sleep. Just don't exercise too close to bedtime, or you may be too energized to fall asleep. Now, this is usual doublespeak, which is, like, totally confusing. The truth of the matter is, if you exercise to exhaustion, then you can usually fall asleep immediately after. Some people, what they'll do is exercise enough to stimulate themselves, and then they'll attempt to go to sleep, and they may end up being awake. But usually, if you have some little exercise you do right before bed, that's it. You're done. You're out like a light. And what they don't mention is just having a more active life during the day will put you to sleep. And we'll talk about that a little later on. We'll talk about proper exercise. Now, here, exercise puts a spark back into your sex life. Now, this can be true, but the ability to exercise is a marker of good health. It does not produce good health. So if you have the ability to exercise, then exercising can enhance your sex life. And so what the Mayo Clinic says is, do you feel too tired or too out of shape to enjoy physical intimacy? Regular physical activity can leave you feeling energized and looking better, which may have a positive effect on your sex life. May have. Okay, here they say may have. But there's more into it than that. Regular physical activity can lead to enhanced arousal for women. Interesting. And men who exercise regularly are less likely to have problems with erectile dysfunction than men who do not exercise. Now, again, this is circular reasoning. Men who exercise regularly tend to be able to exercise regularly. And guys who don't exercise regularly because they're not physically capable of it. And they also, of course, have erectile dysfunction problems. So you have to be careful when the medical establishment is presenting you with a cause and effect, a whole chicken-egg type argument. This really doesn't lead you anywhere. I mean, you have erectile dysfunction, you're going to go try and exercise, you really can't exercise much, and nothing happens. So we're going to talk about how to get out of that that circle. And here it says exercises can be fun. This is totally meaningless because if exercise is so much fun, we'd all be doing it. Generally speaking, engaging in pointless physical activity usually is not fun. And so that's why a lot of people don't exercise. But let's see what the Mayo Clinic says. The Mayo Clinic says, exercise and physical activity can be a fun way to spend some time. It gives you a chance to unwind, enjoy the outdoors, or simply engage in activities that make you happy. Physical activity can also help you connect with family or friends in a fun social setting. So, take a dance class, hit the hiking trails, or join a soccer team. Find physical activity you enjoy and just do it. If you get bored, try something new. Okay, so let me tell you an experience I had with this. I live here in Panama, and so a lot of people here are retired, and every now and then they'll get into their head that they ought to exercise, and maybe it'll be fun. So a local tour company decided that they would have a free hike for the locals to get them interested in hiking, and also to kind of work out the kinks in their tour management routine. So we're all walking and walking and walking and walking. And this one lady just falls out, hits the ground, passes out. And I was only 20 feet away, so I turn around and walk back. Sure enough, she was unconscious. So I said, oh, no problem. Just lift up her legs, get some blood to her head, give her something to drink, and she'll be just fine. Well, the husband was hysterical. Oh, my God. We have to call an ambulance. Oh, give me a break. We're at the side of some remote mountains. In the middle of the jungle, I do mean jungle, that's J-U-N-G-L-E, jungle. This guy is looking for an ambulance. I mean, there really wasn't even any way to evacuate her because we had gone this very narrow, steep, treacherous trail that barely had a rope for you to kind of hold on to, assuming you couldn't balance against it because you would have fallen off the cliff. And there was really no way to evacuate her. But he was devoted to doing this. And so I explained to him that, you know, really, this is very simple. And so he was it nearly became enraged at what he perceived to be my lack of concern for his wife's safety. Of course, I had to confess I was a medical doctor. So he spent the whole rest of the day, because you can imagine getting off the side of that mountain was not easy, getting her into town. He did all these tests and found absolutely nothing. Now, what really happened? This person decided she wanted to exercise, because of course exercise is good. So she had a sedentary life where her body made the executive decision that it was only going to circulate blood to her brain, torso, plus or minus her arms. And so her body had adjusted to this routine. When she walked, the body said, oh, she's using her legs. Oh, okay. It distributed more blood to her feet and legs. So where did it get it from? Well, it got it from her head, of course. And she passed out. So this is an example of where exercise is demanding. Exercise takes resources from other parts of your body, your vital organs, and puts them to your muscles. And you can't just go exercise and you don't have enough resources to go around. So exercise is not the means of getting energy. Exercise is what you do with the energy that you have. And so all these physical activities that help you connect with family or friends in fun social settings sounds very romantic. But if you are having any kind of energy issue, exhaustion, tiredness, lack of fitness, then jumping into these so-called activities may not be the way to go. So what's the bottom line? What they say, this is what the Mayo Clinic says. Mayo Clinic says, exercise and physical activity are a great way to feel better, gain health benefits, and have fun. As a general goal, aim for at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day. If you want to lose weight or meet specific fitness goals, you may need to exercise more. Remember to check with your doctor before starting a new exercise program, especially if you have any health concerns. This is preposterous, and this is why, A, most people don't exercise, and B, when people try to exercise, they end up getting in just a terrible way. So let's analyze this statement that the Mayo Clinic is saying, and I'm going to go bit by bit here and talk about the harm, just the harm here, and what you can do to offset the harm. Then I'm going to go on to talk about different types of exercise. Okay, so what are they saying? Great way to feel better, gain health benefits, and have fun. You don't gain health benefits from exercise, and exercise is a way to extend your health benefits. and you feel better as a result of expressing your health. So the exercise itself doesn't give you the health. The health gives you the ability to exercise. Feeling healthy, having the ability to go to exercise, physically do things, gives you then the sense of fun and happiness. So you got this thing totally backwards, which means since you're starting at the end, you can never go forward from the end and get to the beginning. You know, you're just not going to get there. So the general goal, aim for at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day. I don't know what they mean by aim for, but I think you have to start with where you are. People who are sedentary, I tell them to start with nothing. Don't even bother. If you're sedentary, you have to start someplace else. If you're sedentary, you have to start with hydration, you have to start with nutrition, you have to start someplace else. So if you're sedentary and you aim for 30 minutes of physical activity a day, you are going to be disappointed and it's not going to work out well. If you want to lose weight or meet specific fitness goals, you may need to exercise more. Wait a minute. How many skinny people do you know are exercising more than 30 minutes a day? Not very many. People I know who are skinny are just plain skinny. They don't put out 30 minutes a day to maintain it. And so obviously, if you are overweight and want to become slender, why do things that slender people don't even do? It doesn't make sense. And remember, check with your doctor before starting a new exercise program, especially if you have any health concerns. This is totally ridiculous because, one, your doctor wasn't trained about health. Number two, who wants to be put on a treadmill in a heart attack induction protocol to induce you to have a heart attack just so you can fulfill a doctor's curiosity as to whether or not he can tell you to exercise? So why risk a heart attack over it when that's really what you're trying to prevent? Okay, so this information is actually pretty harmful, pretty damaging stuff. So as I said, I call it logic inversion. You take the cause and make it the effect, then you take the effect and make it the cause. This leads you to confusion, poor results every time. So let's try and sort this out a little more. We know that health and physical activity are somehow associated. Physically capable people often appear healthy. Also, you may often say or feel, I wish I felt good enough to, and you can fill in the blank. In other words, the health precedes the ability to exercise. You first have to have the oxygen, the vitamins, the minerals, the water supply, and waste removal in place. Then you can exercise. Exercise is a prize. It's the result of health, not the cause of it. So your exercise, whatever you choose to do, is going to consume oxygen, vitamins, minerals, water, and produce waste. So you got to be able to handle all these things before you embark on exercise. Now, in medical school, I was taught the body had a circulation system. So it was important to have blood circulate, and exercise was good for this. This little teaching is the core of what is wrong with exercise and why exercise, as it is commonly practiced, does not promote longevity or health. We all hear that occasional story about the jogger who dropped dead while jogging and various other physical exertion things. People ended up either injuring themselves seriously or dropping dead. And this is the reality. And this is the exact reason. It's because doctors are trained about something called the circulatory system, and that is not even half of what's going on. Turns out there are actually many systems in the body that circulate, and all can be enhanced by exercise or depleted by exercise. And each of these systems is essential to life. You totally destroy any one of these, and the person dies. Let's talk about these systems. First is this is blood. This is circulatory system, red blood cells, white blood cells. We'd like to think nutrition, but also waste. And it circulates around the body and bathes the cells. Okay, sounds good. Next is lymph. This is the currency of your immune system. Lymph is very, very important. And when it gets stuck someplace, bad news, you got pain. So lymph is important. The lymph has to circulate. So you've got to engage. When you engage in exercise, it's preferable to engage in exercise that promotes the circulation of the lymph system. Next is the electrical body. This is known in some healing traditions as chakras. So the electricity in the body has got to be circulated. It's got to be renewed. The dirty electricity or static electricity has got to be disposed of so the body can Bai's electrical centers can work and process energy. Next is the spiritual body. This, if you want to give it a concrete name, would be the aura. Some people take pictures and they have these big glow around the body, this aura, this energy center. And so the spiritual body can take up anywhere from 4 inches away from your body to 12 feet away from your body. So the aura is a larger energy center of the body. And finally, there's digestion, which is, you want to put it really bluntly here, waste disposal. Digestion is a lot of other things, but the purpose of exercise, we're talking about waste disposal. Getting this material from stomach through the small intestines, through the large intestines, and out the bottom end. This is very important. Now, what I'm going to tell you is based on my experience the past 34 years caring for thousands of people and seeing the effects of exercise, as well as experiencing the effects of exercise. When I was in my 20s, I pumped iron to the point of being able to press 250 pounds with my legs, 500 pounds with my spine, and 500 pounds with my calves. I weighed 130 pounds at the time, and I was not willing to use steroids or supplements, so that was as far as I could get. Now, I've spent thousands of dollars on yoga retreats, visited ashrams, done qigong, various other modalities, and I have patients who've also shared their experiences with me in these matters. So, based on that, we're going to talk about some depleting exercises. The first, station identification. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Alrighty, so here we are. First example is jogging. This is a really bad actor. First of all, asphalt surfaces, that's called blacktop or cement, cause shin splints. These are vertical breaks or fractures in the bone. Causes sprains, dehydration, and carb loading causes B vitamin deficiency and heart attacks and depression and emotional difficulties. I would not recommend jogging as a health practice. If you're already hooked on it, then take extra B vitamin supplements, put extra padding in your shoes, run on dirt if you can. And that will minimize the negative impact of jogging. And of course, drink plenty of water. Marathons, this is worse than jogging. The water and mineral depletion are profound and can lead to death. Best bet is to take B vitamins, minerals, and water before and periodically during the marathon, depending on its length. Next, weightlifting in the gym. First of all, you should only do weightlifting as you're able to tolerate it, and to build strength for another activity such as skiing or ice skating or whatever recreational activity you have in mind, or a functional activity like going up the stairs or carrying your laundry. And never, ever work through the pain. If there's pain, it's a sign of dehydration or malnutrition. Put more, in other terms, or more concretely, in terms of what we're talking about, with the deficiency of your circulation of blood, of your chakras, your aura, your lymph, or your digestion. So something is wrong and needs to be fixed. So never in the gym work through the pain. It's always time to stop, stop, recheck, and address either your lack of hydration, in which case you're going to drink some water, lack of nutrition, in which case you're going to take some B vitamins or some minerals. Now, there are more supplements you can take. I'm suggesting the ones that are going to kill you if you don't have them. So we just stick into the essentials here. And so you need to definitely pay attention to that. So weightlifting in the gym is a very, very unhealthy. It's very low level. So in other words, if you're unable to lift even a pound, then you might want to start out in the gym lifting the machines using zero weight and build up so you can get some power. Or you might really just stay home and get a can of vegetables, 1 pound can of vegetables, and use those as weights. Don't eat the vegetables, don't eat any canned food, just use them as weights. Next activity is aerobics of any kind. And we all hear about aerobic activity, the elliptical, the this, the that, the dot, the dot. For that I say, see jogging. Aerobic activity actually causes heart attacks due to the depletion of B vitamins. So the old treadmill stress test, why do you think they call it a stress test? They call it a stress test because it's designed to bring on a heart attack and make the doctor rich. So aerobics, you can just cross them off your list in terms of an exercise form. If health is what you're after, longevity is what you're after, that's just not the way to go, not really productive. So what's a lady to do? Let's say for the sake of getting started that you can exercise a little bit but would like to feel healthier or exercise more. So what type of exercise should you engage in that would advance your health and why? If you're so weak and tired you cannot imagine exercising right now, so you need to work on your nutrition. For that I recommend my book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? It's very clear, it lays it out from very beginning baby steps from where you are now to how to get to more energy. If you do not feel up to exercising, your body is telling you something. It's telling you it's malnourished. So listen to that. Get the book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Address your malnutrition issue. Now, if you're really out of shape, start with walking 50 feet and build up from that. And when I say build up, I mean as you're tolerated. So if you're walking 50 feet and at the end of that you're absolutely exhausted, you need to cut it back to 25 feet. You need to start with whatever it is you're able to tolerate. But I would say if you're at this level, really, work on your nutrition first and then come back to exercising. Well, my patients used to come to me for weight loss. I would tell them what to eat differently. And they would say, well, what about exercise? So I could wait on that. And after they lost the first 20 pounds, oh, doctor, I'm feeling so great. I got all this energy. I said, okay, fine. You can exercise. What should I do? And then I would tell them, take a walk around the block and see how it goes. But you really need to get the energy first, then go exercise.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
The next thing is Tibetan rites. These are my favorite. It's called the 5 Tibetan rites. You can Google them on the internet. They're everywhere, and there's all kinds of videos. So Tibetan rite number 1 clears your aura. Tibetan rite number 2 clears your chakras. The 3rd clears your physical glands, thyroid, adrenal, endocrine glands. The 4th exercise clears your intestines of waste, promotes digestion. The 5th clears your lungs and heart. 2 through 5 exercises clear your sinuses. 4 and 5 clear your lymph and circulation. Rites number 2 and 5 reestablish the connection between your muscles, connective tissue, and nervous system. And modern-day gym machines that isolate muscle groups do the exact opposite. They do not improve your body's ability to coordinate, use, and function with its muscles. So the Tibetan rites, that is an incredible set of exercises. Now, there's 5 of them. They recommend you do 21 reps of each one. But I would definitely recommend starting with 1 of each and see how you feel. Now, there's 5 of them. Number 5 is some people find it difficult. So if you can't do all of them, that's okay. Just do the ones you can do. So do 1 of each, and that'll let you know kind of where you're at with things. And then you can increase from 1 rep to 7 reps to 14 reps to 21 reps. And this is really an ideal exercise because it promotes all the circulatory systems in the body. Your aura, your chakra, your lymph, your digestion, even your nervous system. So this is a wonderful set of exercises. You can do them right at home yourself. You don't even need a mat if you don't want to. Next is Qigong. This is another nice one. Qigong, although it's physical and breath, to tell you how to breathe and how to move. The breath and the movement are coordinated, so with the express goal of moving qi, which is energy, and clearing your aura and chakras. Now, it results in more strength and healing with minimal effort, much easier than lifting weights, and much more effective if you're at the intermediate level of functioning. If you're at advanced functioning, actually, Qigong can even be helpful then. But if you're at the very minimal level where exhaustion is an issue, Qigong is for you. Because it works with the electricity in the body, it actually increases your energy. And because the physical effort is minimal at the lower level, which is good, start at the lower level, it doesn't deplete your minerals and your nutrition, it doesn't exhaust you, it has the potential to kill you. So Qigong is another nice one. Tai Chi, this is another excellent one if you're debilitated. Eye patients suffer from autoimmune diseases, all kinds of awful things. They love their Tai Chi. They love their Tai Chi. This is very slow, rhythmic, coordinated movements. Of course, you can go to, you know, a higher, more advanced level, which is more demanding. But I always recommend any exercise start at the lower level and then move your way up. So Tai Chi is nice. Yoga is interesting. Yoga has many levels. To say simplicity, we'll just say beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Yoga can be strenuous. The problem I have with yoga is you can injure yourself. Depending on your instructor's style or the class style or your personal attitude, yoga does have the potential to create injuries and problems. Now, on the other hand, if you're going to a comprehensive yoga retreat or program, then they're going to tell you how you should eat and how you should nourish yourself and how you should breathe and what you should drink, which is really the basis of health. And then the physical exercise part of the yoga is actually kind of the cherry on top. Unfortunately, most people take the physical aspect and the poses as being the whole thing and either ignore, neglect, or not even aware of the whole eating and health-promoting system surrounding yoga. So I'd say if all you're going to do with yoga is take yoga classes, that's not going to be very effective. Then there's martial arts. Again, martial arts, another great one. Martial arts, they promote a total package, which, again, addresses all the features we talked about. With martial arts, again, the only thing is start at the bottom. But any martial arts school would insist you do that anyway, so start at the bottom. So now there's two things. There's we've talked about exercises, what we're kind of focused on. There's another kind of physical activity, and this is called physical activity, which is, has a purpose. And if you put your efforts instead towards engaging in physical activity that has a purpose, that is the most expeditious way to improve your health. What am I talking about? You know, there was a time when people spent their day, their work day, building the home that they were going to live in. They spent their day tending a garden to grow food that they were going to eat. Now, this sounds a bit ridiculous, but think about the outcome here. If you were chopping down wood to build a house that you're going to live in, that means that there are no plastic polymers in the house, there is no outgassing, the house is certainly going to be well-ventilated despite your best efforts, and so you're going to get better quality air, and you're not going to have the indoor air pollution problem. So just simply the act of engaging in physical, purposeful activity, such as building your own home or some aspect of it, or tending a chemical-free garden in your backyard. You can start with as little as one tomato plant and just give it your attention. These things are physical and promote good health. And you might say, tending a tomato plant, how is that any physical activity? Well, if you've ever gone to the store, got the pot, then had to dig up the soil, put it in the pot, or get the bag, pour it in the pot, pick up the pot, move it to where you think the light's best, put the plant in it, then water it, and then you got to rotate it, and then water it, and, you know, just pay attention to it. And you have to trim it, then you got to put a stake in there and tie the plant to the stake. It takes a bit of doing. I know what you guys are thinking. Get the miracle upside down tomato tree. But we're talking exercise here. So the purposeful activity is going to yield for you food that's high nutrition, free of chemicals, and promoting your health. So it's really important to rethink your activity in general. Take a look at your day and see what you can do. Well, first of all, what you are doing that has no activity involved in it, and see if you can replace it with something that has some purposeful activity. And I don't mean driving the kids to soccer. Purposeful activity that really contributes to creating something new in your life. And this is an important concept. Now, this is pretty much first of all, I'd like to pause at this point to take questions from my assistant producer. She's reviewed the questions called in, or written in, emailed in, excuse me, by listeners. So for next week, you got to email in your questions. This is the topic for next week. Next week's topic is dosing the elderly. So is Medicare state-sponsored euthanasia disguised as health care? Are we murdering the elderly to get them out of the way? If so, why? What's the motive? Who benefits? So next week, I'm going to talk about that. And so you can email your questions to jdaniels.daniels@gmail.com. Your questions for next week's program, or actually you can mail them to support@vitalitycapsules.com. So support@vitalitycapsules.com. Your questions about Medicare being state-sponsored euthanasia disguised as health care. And also just any questions you have actually about dosing the elderly, about drugs and the elderly or Medicare. And I'll answer those in the next program. Okay, Cheryl.
Dr. Daniels, that was such an interesting presentation. I learned a lot.
Great.
So, we have some questions, and I have a couple questions, too. Is that okay if I give you some of mine from the...
Oh, yeah. I think we've got quite a bit of time here, so we can handle.
Oh, okay. How much time have we got?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I wanted to know about, as far as benefits of the... of exercise, like I've heard that there's also breathing exercise that my Dr. Weil recommends breathing. He says that's one of the most best exercises you can do is taking deep breaths, you know, from your stomach. And I just wanted to know what you thought about that as compared to, say, like using an ozone machine or something like to get extra oxygen. Versus, I guess that would be one possible benefit of actual aerobic exercises that you're getting some more oxygen in your body. That's my question.
Okay. Well, what Dr. Weil is referring to is all these unhealthy forms of exercise that I reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of the problem with them is that they don't promote circulation, that there's not enough oxygen, that the exercise depletes your oxygen and doesn't replenish it. And so... more accurately, he might say that you should take these deep breaths while you're doing these profoundly unhelpful and unhealthy exercises. At least it would diminish the harm. That's one aspect. The other aspect to take a look at is these other forms of exercises that I've mentioned, which would be the Tibetan Rite, the Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, and martial arts, all demand, they insist that you breathe. And they teach you breathing as part of the exercise structure. And I've gone to tons of meditation classes, and they teach you how to take a deep breath all the way down to your belly button and beyond. But if you do the 5 Tibetan rites, man, you feel like someone has taken your lungs, squeezed every last bit of air out of it, and then expanded them and pulled all this fresh air in. It's amazing. It's not something that you can do yourself by sitting still and taking deep breaths. It's because you really don't have a perception of how far you can go. You don't have a perception or awareness of that whole lung from the tip of your shoulders, you know, all the way down to your kidneys. So, yes, you can sit still and you can take deep breaths, but I'm telling you, it's only going to get you so far. I would recommend the meditation exercises. There's the... Restrika, there's all kinds of different types of meditation breathing. You can start with those as a beginner to breathing, but I would definitely go with Tibetan Rites exercise number 5. That one will really totally change your concept of breathing and give you, I think, a greater understanding of it. It's one of those things you have to experience. Now, what about an ozone machine? Ozone machine is nice, maybe for getting oxygen in or ozone in, but for most people in Western cultures where we're very sedentary, our problem is our whole bottom lobe of both lungs is just absolutely closed off. And we have what's called a blood-oxygen mismatch, which means because of gravity, all the blood's in the bottom of the lung, and because of our shallow breathing, all the air is in the top of the lung. Right? So the oxygen, in this case the ozone from your ozone machine, never comes in contact with the blood that really needs it. So I would say if you want to use an ozone machine, definitely do Tibetan exercise number 5, then try your ozone machine. You'll see a huge, huge difference.
Is this mostly just breathing from your diaphragm and making your stomach go way out when you take the breath? And then
Way beyond that. So I'll describe it to you. You stand up and, we're talking about something that's debilitated, right? So you don't stand up because you can't really. So you lay on your tummy, get up on your knees, put your hands on the ground, and lift your knees up off the ground. So you now have your hands on the ground, your feet on the ground, and your butt in the air. Still with me?
Yep, heads down and butt up.
Yeah. And your head actually is way down. Your head is
way down,
where your chin is almost touching your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lower your butt so it comes down to about 2 inches away from the ground. This is the advanced form where you, once you've got things going, where you're able to do it. At the same time you put your butt down, you lift your head up and you hyperextend your neck so you're looking up at the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not easy to imagine it, but what that does, it totally collapses your lungs.
Oh.
Your lung is totally collapsed and all the air is expressed out of it. Then you inhale deeply as your butt comes back up in the air. You bring your head down and you curl it back under your chest. This hyperinflates your lungs with more air than you've had in your lung probably in 10 to 15 years, maybe even decades. Then you repeat that and it turns your whole body into one big bellows that totally presses all the air out of your lungs and then totally sucks it all back in. So it opens up that total bottom third of your lungs and aerates it, because obviously as your butt's in the air, what's going on? That blood is rushing to the top of your lungs now, because the top of your lungs are dependent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally redistributing the blood in your lungs, so now the blood in your lungs is evenly distributed from the top to the bottom of your lungs. And then when the butt comes down, it totally pushes all the air out of your lungs. And then when it comes back up, it sucks the air back in. So your whole body becomes this big, huge bellows. And it moves air so quickly and so in such great volume that it literally cleans out your lungs.
Uh-huh.
And so what that does is it gets rid of the mismatch between the blood and the air. The ozone machine is not going to address the blood-air mismatch.
Okay,
yeah.
I hear what you're saying about that. Well, what if somebody isn't fit enough to do that, where they could, you know, get in that position? And can't you just like huff up the air and hold your breath and then gasp it in? And will that do the same thing?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty good health, and I've done a lot of things before I did those exercises. You know, like I said, I've been to meditation classes. I've, you know, sat down, taken my deep breaths, you know, flapped my arms like a chicken, all kinds of things to improve aeration of my lungs. And I've never experienced anything as complete as that. But let's just say you're debilitated. Let's say someone's got pneumonia or something, and you've got to get some more air in there. You just put them over the edge of the bed. So you put their legs on the bed, butt at the edge of the bed, and head facing forward with their head on the floor or close to it. And what's going to happen then is you'll solve the blood-air mismatch. The blood's going to go to the top of the lungs, just going to get more air, and the person's going to experience a tremendous amount of relief and more quality oxygen getting into their blood. So for most people, they don't have oxygen in their blood because the oxygen and the blood never meet. So they're breathing in the top half of their lung, and all the blood's in the bottom half of their lung. Good luck with that.
This is a concept that it's quite startling. No, that it's, you know, it's that getting your head down is going to really help your more than exercise will.
Oh, yeah, exercise as was practiced, you know, whether it's the gym, whether it's jogging. I would say, again, you know, I'm ready for all the irate letters and emails. It's okay. I can handle it. I'm big, big girl. It's a waste of time.
Mm.
Now, when I say waste of time, I'm considering that everyone listening to this radio show has a life, that there are things they want to do. I don't know what those things are, but there are things they want to do. And to ask them to carve out another 30 minutes to exercise might not be a reasonable request.
Well, all these other exercises that you endorsed are not Western methods. They're Eastern. Would you call them Eastern? The Chinese?
Many of them are Eastern, Hindu. I mean, I have really gone to great lengths to try out lots of things because I had the challenge of being very busy, number one. Number two, not liking exercise. And so how am I going to stay fit? How am I going to stay physically active and be able to physically use
not
my
liking
body?
Not liking Western exercise.
No, I'm not liking exercise, period.
Oh.
Period, yes.
So you don't consider this the other Eastern, Asian disciplines, if you want to call them, you don't call that exercise.
I do call it exercise, but I'm just saying I would like to minimize the time I spend exercising.
Oh, yeah, if you're
going to
do it, you want to get something for it and not spend a lot of time and have a heart attack from doing it.
Exactly. That's right. And that's what the stuff that doctors recommend, what they're trained to recommend to their patients, it's time-consuming, not beneficial, and causes harm like heart attacks. Very dangerous stuff. Yeah.
Well, I wonder how, you probably know the answer to this, how Western ideas of exercise came about to be so contrary to what the rest of the world has always thought for thousands of years.
Well, first of all, we have to put this together with things like mass media, mass communication. So the people who control mass media, who control mass communication, who control advertising, have put forth these methods to the citizens through the voice piece, authoritative voice piece called a doctor, as well as the incredible marketing genius of something called a public service announcement. So with all of these propaganda methods, people have been instructed that these forms of exercise are beneficial when they're not. And then you have compulsory schooling, where you separate the generations. You put the kids in school and the parents at work, and so parents can't pass on these traditions of physical activity. Like just as recently as three generations ago in my family, people knew how to build a home. People knew how to construct or build whatever it was they needed. And so now that knowledge is lost. And so if I want something done, what do I have to do? Sit down, dial a phone, call up three contractors, get estimates, blah, blah, blah. But none of it involves exercise. It all involves stress and worry.
Do you think that all of this talk about exercise could be a way of getting people to not explode from frustration of not having to do physically anymore?
Well, I think it's a distraction for sure. And I think it's a distraction from people to get them to think that purposeless activity actually has a purpose or a benefit.
Yeah.
Right. So purposeless activity is purposeless activity. You know, jogging is jogging. You're running and going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the place you end up is there's no even reason to be there. There's, you know, whereas really walking your legs is a form of transportation. That's what it is. And so if people rediscover that concept, then they would demand that their activity be purposeful, that they demand that, hey, I want to move, I want to accomplish something. What is it I want to accomplish? And also, having people do things like jog, for example, it allows you to put them in a prison all day long, and they don't even know they're in a prison. They're sitting in this prison, let's say a square room, let's say 20 by 20 feet, and over the years it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. They don't even know they're in a prison because why? Oh, they can walk the other end of the room and get on a treadmill and exercise. So now you have a hamster in a cage that doesn't even know it.
Mm. Yeah, and all the people are spending a lot of money to go to gyms and, you know.
But they don't understand why. The reason why is because we've built our cities in such a way that they're hostile to foot traffic, to people walking. Like where I live, here in Panama, people walk everywhere. There are more people walking than cars. I mean, the sidewalks are like five people deep, people walking, walking everywhere they walk. And so they're trying to make Panama more modern, which means they're taking away the sidewalks so that everyone has to travel by car, everyone has to pay a gas, everyone has to pay the car dealer. And this is what's going on, is people being systematically fleeced, and then they're being offered exercise, which is very poor substitute for physical and purposeful activity.
Yeah. Everything you're saying makes a...
Okay, I'm going to take some more questions here. Oops. Hello, you're on the air?
Hello?
Yes.
So you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
You know, I love your program. But I struggle with yoga, not because I'm an expert, but because I know somebody who grew up in India. I believe in the scriptures. And she talks about how yoga in America is the Hindus' purpose for all the yoga in America is to proselytize Americans and convert them to Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And by just assuming the positions, you are worshiping the sun and moon gods, Osiris and Isis. And also, it's a preparation for death called Asherah. And so I don't know about Qigong and Tai Chi, but spiritually I can't do, because of my spiritual beliefs, I can't even do yoga. But I don't know about the others. And I mean, it makes total sense, but I don't know about the spiritual ramifications of the other modes. Does that make any sense to you?
Actually it does. Actually, again, as I mentioned in my talk, the yoga as it's practiced in the United States is actually not very healthy. And from the books I've read about yoga, when you go back and read the different gurus who came to the United States and bought yoga, it was, and I think probably still is, a method for transmitting a different set of beliefs. However, if we just look at the purely physical/health benefits of it, as it's practiced in the United States, those benefits are quite limited. And so I would say that a person should take a look at the whole yoga system and decide if it's for them or not. And even if it's not, they can. There are so many other things they can do that are healing. I would say Qigong is definitely one to check out. It's a whole different attitude and everything compared to yoga. But I would say check out Qigong. Okay, we have another question. Let me see if I can hit the right button here.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jennifer. Bill Witt.
Yes.
Yoga, Qigong, that whole ball of wax. There is a new Harvard study on Tai Chi by
mm-hmm.
a person who is both at Harvard and who teaches Tai Chi that basically documents what most of the literature on Tai Chi and Qigong has been saying for years, that it's the best form of physical exercise. Walking comes in second. But in terms of limitations and beginning, one of the things that has come up in the last 10 years, and it's quoted in a Harvard study, but it really comes from a guy named Bruce Francis in a book called Tai Chi Health for Life, is
mm-hmm.
that the 70% rule, that you should never push yourself further than 70% in any form of exercise because it ruins your flexibility and ruins what you're doing. So
right.
that you know, I start my classes saying that the first thing is do not get injured. If you're out of shape, you know, we can refine the exercise. We can do things differently in both Qigong and Tai Chi, you know, but if you're fit, then don't go as far as you can go. Don't hurt yourself. Instead, relax, deep breathe, and the abdominal breathing, of course, is an inherent part of Tai Chi and Qigong, and just go 70%. It works much better. The other thing is that at the end of that Bruce Francis book, and he is now rich and famous. I mean, he turned down a full-ride Harvard scholarship to study martial arts in China for 20 years. Now he teaches in the U.S., Germany, and England. But what Francis has in the back of Tai Chi Health for Life is a comparison between yoga and Tai Chi. The yoga is basically linear. It's stretching. Tai Chi is basically circular, and Tai Chi will build your lower body. You know, you mentioned the chakra system. Well, for Tai Chi, it's the Tan Chen, which is 1.5 inches directly in from your belly button and 1.5 inches down. That's the power center. And so that what you want to do is cultivate that. And the same system that can photograph your aura, which is Carilion photography, can also photograph the chakras. And most people that do Tai Chi, you'll find that the Tan Chen comes out very large, which is what I was gratified to learn happens with me. But anyway, you know, that you obviously have not done Tai Chi, but the other advantage of Tai Chi is it is a martial art. And so if you do it well over a period of years, and I've done it for 28 years, you find that you have the confidence. You will probably never fight, but you have the confidence to go anywhere that's dangerous and feel relaxed. You know, and I can walk down any street, and unless there's a gun, I know more or less how to handle what's coming up. But anyway, this is a great show. You should do another one on this.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll make a few comments there off the air. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Now, I think there's one thing that's important to note is the whole attitude with which exercise is approached. And a lot of people, they say, oh, modern medicine is dangerous because it's artificial, because of the chemicals. No, it's the whole philosophy. For example, the exercise philosophy, no pain, no gain. By the time you feel pain, your exercise has already become not only inappropriate, but dangerous for you. And so you definitely, as you engage in exercise, if longevity and increased quality of life is your goal, you definitely want to leave out the pain, and that's really where the gain is. So that's very, very important. Now, when I was into all different types of exercise and whatever, and Tai Chi came up as an option, I was pretty young and energetic, and I said, you know what, that just moves too slow for me. Now I'm getting older, and I think I will probably be slowed down enough to consider Tai Chi in the next 2 or 3 years or so. But Tai Chi, I'm telling you, it's as far as reviews from my patients who are ill, they love it. They feel it's really, really helped them a lot. And again, you can start at a very low level of physical competence and still get benefit from them. I hope you enjoyed today's show, especially the format, because we bypassed all the technical errors because the middle portion was mostly recorded. It was all recorded. So please email your questions about dosing the elderly to support@vitalitycapsules.com, and my executive producer will read those questions and look over them. Now, next week is dosing the elderly. After that, we've got some really incredible shows with guests, VIP guest appearances. But focus now on any questions you might have about dosing the elderly. And so that concludes today's show, and we'll see you again next week.
Believe.